The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight, with Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Every leader that we see all throughout the GOP has been more than glad to dump all their principles for Trump. Basic decency seems quaint. Nixon's looking like a saint. But as bad as things now are, they keep lowering the bar. Ha 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 ha. The bar's lower now. Even lower now. How low can they go? First they barely made a squawk at grabbing locker talk. Guess devout Christians prefer a serial philanderer. And now it's the latest thing to make fun of stuttering. Playground insults by their boss. Just another line to cross. The bar's lower now. Even lower now. How low can they go? Now they praise a Hitler quote. Some say women shouldn't vote. Praise dictators and their reign. Screw our allies like Ukraine. Even Holocaust denial looks like nothing is too vile. You think it couldn't get more bleak? They'll do something worse next week. Yep. The bar's lower now, even lower now. How low can they go? How low can they go? How low can they go?
Before you go, one quick favor. If you're enjoying these videos, I hope you'll consider supporting me through my Patreon. First of all, it's $2 a month. That way you can enjoy them without feeling guilty about how hard I work every week to keep you laughing at the news that would otherwise make you cry. There. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, I hit the wrong button. What else is new? Welcome to a Monday, everybody. I'm in a good mood today because I got to hang out with Jamie Raskin yesterday. Me and a lot of other people, but Jamie Raskin was here in Tempe, Arizona, appearing at a kickoff event, really, for the general election Biden-Harris campaign. And it was really for organizers and, you know, party members and stuff. And I was invited by a friend, thankfully, because, oh my God, how brilliant. Now, the still photo we got that I posted to social media, only because how can I not, was horrible. I mean, I don't take great pictures anyway, but oh my goodness. And I was bummed because the only picture I got, David looked good in it, my husband, but I didn't. It was just horrible. So imagine my surprise when this morning, or this afternoon, actually, I look at the, it's Arizona Central, azcentral.com, which is the website for the Arizona Republic, the newspaper. And I'm just going to play for you the beginning of the video that they have embedded in it because because it's a better picture of well, certainly of me and of David. But here's the beginning of that news story up on the Arizona AZCentral.com website. If I can get to, come on. Here we go.
Have you ever thought of donating a year of your life
to democracy and
there
freedom.
There we are.
This is
He's
the year to do
David.
It, okay?
There's me
Don't
trying
wait
to take
until
a selfie.
2037 or something like that. 2024.
Anyway, I'm not going to play you the rest of this because we're going to hear the whole speech. Because I got to tell, I mean, I will embed that as well. We're in it a few more times. To Kathy in the chat room who said, congratulations on scoring an interview with Jamie Raskin. Well, we hope that we will be setting one up soon. I didn't get an interview with him yet, but it looks like it's in the works. So I will keep working on it. You know, I can be persistent when I want to be. But anyway, what happened was when he started speaking, I had my little cell phone camera and I was going to shoot just a couple of minutes of it, but it was so brilliant that I never wanted to stop it. And sure enough, he spoke for about 27, 28 minutes, but it flew by. It was so good. Jamie Raskin is incredibly talented. He's brilliant. And as you'll see when I play this back for you, has the ability to both be engaging and funny and witty, I guess more than both, all of the above, and do it contemporaneously, I think that's the word. No notes, no teleprompter. We saw what happened when the former guy tried his teleprompter. His teleprompter melted down and he lost it. Well, Jamie Raskin, you'll see at the beginning, he looks at his notes and I think it's just to make sure he got the names of the hosts of the event right. Now, I posted this on YouTube last night because honestly, it was so good that I didn't want to sit on it. And as I told some friends, you know, most people don't listen to my show and I want everyone to have the opportunity to hear him. So I posted it last night. It's already gotten a ton of views, but I'm going to play it back. Yes, David. David.
I just want to say one thing real quick.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that you're right, I did look good. the most important or the most impressive thing after how good I looked was how nice a man he was.
Oh my God.
No attitude whatsoever, not just with us, but anybody everyone does. He interacted with would say the exact same thing. Just a very, very nice man.
Yes, without a doubt. And he made time for everybody. And, you know, I had exchanged emails with him, just so you know, before the thing, because Howie Klein did put me in touch with him. And I got to tell you, Jamie himself, we're on first name basis now, emailed me back personally. He said, yeah, we'll try to make this happen. He was only there for a short while. So at first I was saying, well, maybe I can get a few minutes with him to talk. And then I was talking with his campaign person and I said, how about if we maybe just try to arrange a full interview sometime in the near future? She said, yeah, I think we can do that. So that said, I'm going to share the whole speech with you. Pardon my, like I said, my camera work. I was holding my phone the whole time because honestly, I really didn't think that, I was going to tape the whole thing, but there was never a spot to stop because it was that good. So with no further ado, I invite you to, you know, sit back and just take it in and know what this was about. It was a Biden-Harris organizing event trying to get, you know, the general election is now underway. So this was to get people fired up and ready to go, to steal a phrase. Anyway, enjoy. And if you already watched it last night on YouTube after I posted it, watch it again, because the second time it's like, oh my God, I forgot he said that. All right, enough of me. Take it away, Congressman Jamie Raskin.
With that, Congressman Jamie Raskin. Hello, you beautiful Maricopa County Democrats.
pleasure to be here in Phoenix. We're surrounded by a lot of very cool people, including the next majority leader of the state Senate, Mitzi F. And I know there's some other distinguished people in our presence. And Marty, because I packed and I forgot it was going to be St. Patty's Day, so Marty, our president, did give me a green egg. along the way. Wow, I'm thrilled, really, to be with you guys. This is a beautiful. Thank you for opening up your beautiful house for us. With a great history already and even a greater future ahead, this house has some superb political feng shui. I can feel it. And it had the feel of victory to me. Thank you for coming. Did you guys just come to hear me speak?
Yes.
I'm going to speak. Is that all right?
Yeah.
I just for like an hour and 45 minutes. All right. Well, before I start, I want to salute Denise and Marty and the great activists who are turning Arizona into a true blue state. And I know Maricopa is the beating heart of the big blue wave in 2024.
Yeah.
And so we're looking to you, and I traveled here from Maryland to be with you and to meet the great Arizona Democrats who are here in their county. So we are all here as true blue Democrats, but I wanted to start on a bipartisan note and invoke our last great Republican president, Abraham Lincoln. Spoke of government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And that's been the tantalizing, beautiful ideal of America from the beginning. We didn't start off that. We started as a slave republic of white male property owners over the age of 21. But when Jefferson inscribed those words in the Declaration of Independence, he set a process into motion whereby successive generations of Democratic patriots would fight for a more perfect union. And we've gotten much, much closer over the centuries. If you read the Constitution the way I do, of the 17 amendments we've added to the original Bill of Rights, the vast majority of them are democratizing amendments to deepen and expand suffrage rights, voting rights, to expand the meaning of democracy. The 13th Amendment abolished slavery. The 14th Amendment gave us equal protection and due process. The 15th Amendment banned race discrimination in voting. The 17th Amendment shifted the mode of election of the U.S. senators from the legislatures to the people. The 19th Amendment doubled the franchise by giving women the right to vote. Yeah. The 23rd Amendment gave people in Washington the right to vote, at least for president of the United States. The 24th Amendment banned poll taxes as a blockade to political participation. And the 26th Amendment lowered the voting age to 18. The whole trajectory of American constitutional, historical, and political development has been towards making a greater union, a more perfect union, and a stronger democracy. Sometimes my colleagues will get up on the floor of the House and they say, Raskin keeps talking about democracy. We're not a democracy, we're a republic. And they think they really got me on that one, you know? A republic is a representative democracy. That's all a republic is. It's a representative democracy because we can't fit 300 million people in a school board meeting or in the House of Representatives. That's what a representative democracy is. If we represent people to go and reincarnate the public opinion, the values and the priorities of the public. But those of us who aspire and attain to public office are nothing but the servants of the people. And the moment that we think we're kings or queens or dictators or czars, that's the moment to eject, reject, impeach, convict, and start all over again. Yeah. We don't need kings and queens in America. Public office are nothing but the servants of the people and the common good. That's what we are. But I'm here to tell you, this is my 18th state that I come out to. Because I'm throwing everything into this election. Awesome. Have you ever thought of donating a year of your life to democracy and freedom? This is the year to do it, okay? Don't wait until 2037 or something like that. 2024 is the year. But I got to tell you, having been to 18 states now, I am proud to be a Democrat.
Yeah.
I am proud to be a Democrat because I meet people like the people at this amazing event everywhere I go. The people, they're not in it for the money. They're not in it for foreign government emoluments. They're not in it for $2 billion from Saudi Arabia. No. They're in it for the future of the United States of America. That's the Democratic Party. A
couple billion in America.
No.
And I'm proud of the record that President Biden has assembled in his first of two terms in office, okay? I sat there for 4 years under Donald Trump. We had infrastructure week. We had infrastructure month. We had infrastructure day. We just never had an infrastructure bill. And Joe Biden got in the first week. He sent us an infrastructure bill. We passed it, a $1.5 trillion investment in the roads, the highways, the bridges, the ports, the airports, rail, trail, rural broadband, rapid internet for every American. The Democrats did that.
Yeah.
We did that. The Chips and Science Act. Revitalized the semiconductor industry in America to jumpstart it.
Right here
in Arizona. The Inflation Reduction Act. We got the lowest inflation rate of the industrialized world, the lowest inflation rate of the, I cannot ever remember if it's the G7 or G8. Did we kick Russia out yet? At the G7. We've got the lowest inflation rate. We've got the best employment rate. Lower than 4% unemployment for 29 straight months. The small business sector is roaring. We've left behind the unemployment and the desolation that Donald Trump left us with COVID-19 and his lethal recklessness in telling people to go ahead and inject bleach or take hydroxychloroquine. Reason governs again in America with President Biden. And when you keep clapping for President Biden's State of the Union address, how about that? It's got to be the greatest State of the Union address of our lifetime.
Yeah.
Amazing. And, you know, the thing I got to confess to you, fellow Democrats, that I love the most about it, after Donald Trump has trashed every constitutional principle and ideal, every federal law governing the behavior of federal office holders, after he's violated every rule of decorum and politeness we have in America, I got to see Joe Biden violate one taboo that I'm really glad he violated. He stared them in the face and he told the truth to the Supreme Court. When they overthrew more than a half century of precedent to destroy Roe versus Wade, which was what Donald Trump sent them to do, and which Donald Trump is running around the country bragging about having done, When they did that, they said along the way, well, we can leave it up to the states. Women are not without political or electoral power. That was the line Joe Biden quoted to them. He said, you're about to see how much political and electoral power women are.
Stop them, bitches.
I'm proud of Joe Biden. Every day I'm proud of Joe Biden. An old-fashioned public servant who puts the people first. Right? He's not in it as a money-making operation for his family and for his friends. He's in it for the common good. Those are two radically contrasting public philosophies. The Democratic Party says government must be an instrument for the good of all. And Donald Trump says he's going to take over the government and make it a money-making operation. He took millions of dollars in illegal foreign government emoluments from Saudi Arabia, from China, from Indonesia, from governments all over the world. And we've documented it. Check out the report the Oversight Committee Democrats put out called White House for Sale. There's no question about it. And that was just what they did during office, and just a fraction of it, because we only got four of his more than 500 companies.
the records for that before Chairman Comer shut it down, and we only got 20 countries out of 175 countries in the world, and we only did what took place while he was president. Jared Kushner brought back a cool $2 billion from Saudi Arabia for a company he created the day after the administration ended, yep. Okay? Donald Trump had, and Donald Trump has, a staph infection, okay? The whole administration was devoted to corruption and to Donald Trump. We know who he is. The Democrats know who he is. The Republicans, the few that are still with them, the MAGA Republicans, they know who he is. The independents know who he is. The question in this election is, who are we? Who are we going to be? Are we going to put up with that model of corruption and authoritarianism, or are we going to fight for the expansion of democracy and freedom the way our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents did? That's the choice for us. It gives me no joy to say that the Republican Party is gone. I've got the bust of one president in my office, Abraham Lincoln, which I inherited from my grandfather, who loved Lincoln the way I love Lincoln. But Lincoln's party was a party of freedom. It was a party of union. It was an anti-know-nothing, anti-conspiracy theory, pro-reason, pro-science party. They've taken Lincoln's party, they've reduced it to an authoritarian cult of personality, propaganda, disinformation, and conspiracy theory. And just like the Republican Party of Abraham Lincoln replaced the Whigs, somebody should come along and replace the Republican Party because it's gone under Donald Trump. It's gone. And every day I hear from Republicans who say we can't take it anymore. I hear from independents who say I'm coming over to the Democratic Party. It is upon us and the people here today in the tents to create a big tent for the Democratic Party. Everybody who wants to stand up for democracy, like my friend Liz Cheney. Like Adam Kinzinger, like Mitt Romney, we say, come on over to the Democratic Party. Come on over. You know, sometimes my colleagues across the aisle, they can't correctly pronounce the name of our party in its adjectival form. They'll say, you know, that that Democrat congresswoman with their Democrat bill and their Democrat amendment. And for 7 years, I've gotten up and I've gently reminded them, no, Democrat's the noun. Okay, Democratic is the adjective. If you're going to sneer at us, you got to say the Democratic bill, the Democratic amendment. So now they know it gets on my nerves. So they all get up and they start doing it. Matt Gaetz and Johnson, and Lauren Boebert and Mark One day I was on the floor with Lauren Boebert, and she did it, and I got up and I gently reminded her, about the difference between the noun and the adjective and everything, and so. They kept doing it, and I lost my temper. I try not to lose my temper. You know who I work with, okay? And I said, you know, you guys have this self-imposed political speech impediment. It's contagious. It's coming all over my side. Now when I try to say the name of your party, it just comes out the Banana Republican Party. Banana Republican Congress. Banana Republican bill. And so I went home and I told my wife, because she knows this bugs me, and I said, I finally got them back. I did it, and I told her what I'd done, and she said, that was an extremely immature response. So I started feeling bad. But I was reading a great book about a great Democrat. It's called Traitor to His Class by H.W. Brand, who's an historian at UT. It's about Franklin D. Roosevelt. I don't know if you guys have read this book, but amazing book about Roosevelt, and I learned something special in there, which is it's got Roosevelt's speeches. And Roosevelt did not call our party the Democratic Party, much less the Democrat Party. He called our party, at least this is how the historians transcribe it, with a capital D, the Democracy. The Democracy. So you would say, well, the economic royalists and the plutocrats say you invest in the very wealthiest people in society, and some of the wealth will just dribble down magically on everybody else. But the Democracy says you invest in the great American working middle class. We will all rise and prosper together. That's the doctrine of the Democracy. And so now, when they can't pronounce the name of our party, I tell them just do what FDR and Eleanor Roosevelt did. Just call us the Democracy. You know, because that's what we are today. Think about it. Who stands up for everybody's right to vote, even if they're not going to vote for us? We got all these great Democratic organizers here, precinct officials, the election managers, people who are fighting for Democrats to win. Have you ever been to one meeting of Democrats where somebody got up to say, how are we going to disenfranchise the Republicans?
No.
How are we going to repress the vote around that country club or something like that? It doesn't happen, because the Democratic Party is the party of democracy. We stand up for the results of free and fair elections, even when they don't go our way. But here's what the political scientists tell us. These are some of the critical hallmarks of a fascist or an authoritarian political party. Number one, they refuse to stand by the outcome of democratic elections that don't go their way.
Yep.
Number one. Number two, they refuse to disavow or they openly embrace political violence as an instrument for obtaining political power and maintaining it. Mm-hmm. Three, they're organized around a cult of personality, around a charismatic or allegedly charismatic politician whose word is elevated above the rule of law and the Constitution, and who engages in ceaseless scapegoating of minorities, immigrants, LGBTQ. Those are the hallmarks of a fascist political party. They got mad at our friend Joe Biden when he said that there are semi-fascist currents running in the Republican Party. But I'm sorry, if the shoe semi-fits, you semi-wear it. And President Biden knew what he was talking about. Our job is not just to defend democracy, because democracy is never standing still. It's to make democracy move forward, right? Tocqueville said in Democracy in America, he observed that democracy in our country is either shrinking and shriveling away, or it's growing and expanding. We've got to get back on the growth track in America.
Yep.
And that's a tough job, because we've got to play defense and offense at the same time.
Yep.
The Democrats are up for it. It's 2024. How about it's time for us to start electing the President of the United States the way we elect governors, mayors, representatives,
Yeah.
How about that?
Please.
The Electoral College has given us five popular vote losers in our history, twice in the century alone, in 2000 with George W. Bush, in 2016 with Donald Trump. It marginalizes the vast majority of Americans who are in safe red states or safe blue states. I know Arizona is a swing state. It's going blue.
Yeah.
But how about we have a national election where every vote counts and every vote counts equally, no matter where you are. And we count all the votes.
Yeah.
How about that? Counterfeit electors. How about that? I know you guys know something about counterfeit electors. I think they invented counterfeit electors.
Right here.
I know what you guys are up against. It's hard to be a Democrat in Arizona. You got to know why you're a Democrat in Arizona and what you're fighting for. We got to keep democracy moving forward. We really do, in a lot of ways. We got 713,000 tax-paying, draftable American citizens who live in Washington, D.C., the only residents of a national capital on planet Earth who are not represented in their own Congress. It's time for D.C. statehood.
Yeah.
It's time for statehood. We got 3.5 million American citizens in Puerto Rico who are disenfranchised in Congress and are president. It's time for Puerto Rican statehood in America. It's time for us to move democracy forward. And you know, what is democracy about when you think about it? Because democracy is not the ultimate value, right? We're fighting for freedom.
Yeah.
Look what their gerrymandered Supreme Court has done. You know, one of my constituents, Merrick Garland, was nominated to the Supreme Court by President Obama in February of 2016. And Mitch McConnell, in his wisdom, said, no, that's 10 months before the election. We couldn't get it done before that. And it wouldn't be fair to actually nominate and confirm a Supreme Court justice in the last year of the president's term.
Sure.
We want to leave it to the people. Of course, the people had decided when we elected Barack Obama president. But no, they blocked it, right? Yeah. Then in 2020, in October, when Ruth Bader Ginsburg, may she rest in peace, when she died 2 months before the election, early voting had started in a whole bunch of states. Mitch McConnell laughed it off. He said it was a big joke, and they were going to ram it through and put through Mrs. Waterford or whatever her name is. And they jammed that through. And look what they've done. They've dismantled women's right to choose. They're attacking voting rights, just like they dismantled the Voting Rights Act in Shelby County versus Holder. So we've got to fight to defend our democracy. The Supreme Court is not going to save us. I take it that's not news to you guys. The Supreme Court is not going to save us, but we've got to fight to defend democracy at every level, the federal level and the state level and the local level, in every state in the union. That's our job. Sometimes my Republican colleagues will say to me, you know, Raskin, you're not such a bad guy. The problem with you is you're a liberal. I said, you're damn right I'm a liberal. Yeah. The heart of that word is liberty. Oh. And I'm a progressive because the heart of that word is progress. Yeah. If we're not making progress, what are we doing in politics? But my favorite thing to call myself absolutely today is a conservative. You know why? I want to conserve the land, the air, the water, the climate system, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Voting Rights Act of 1965, the National Labor Relations Act, the Fair Labor Standards Act, everything that their party of authoritarians and nihilists wants to destroy is everything that we're going to conserve. The Democrats are the party of democracy, of the liberals, the progressives, and the conservatives today. That's who we are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Democratic Party. And before somebody asked me the question, yeah, the Biden administration is doing a great job, but nobody's messaging right. And how come you're not messaging? Because wherever I go, everybody's talking about messaging. So I brought you a message, all right? All the way from Maryland, I brought you a message. And it's from my Democracy Summer program. I spend no money, no campaign money on polls, TV, radio, none of that stuff. I put it into a school for young people called Democracy Summer for high school and college kids across America. We're now in every state, including in Arizona. Please sign the young people up here to join Democracy Summer. We need them. I know Democracy Summer in Arizona means they'll basically be inside, not outside. But whether they're on the phones or on the internet or at the doors, we need them. We need them. But anyway, what I tell them is this. Everything that you need to know about voting is everything that you need to know about driving. If you want to go forward, you put it in D.
Yes.
If you want to go backwards, you put it in R.
Yeah.
That's all you need to. I'm going to leave you with the words of two great democracy patriots I've kept close to my heart through this period of turbulence in our national life. And one is the great Frederick Douglass, who was born like 45 minutes away from my house at the Y River Plantation into slavery. And he escaped from slavery to become a great freedom fighter through the Civil War, through Reconstruction. And Douglass said, if there's no struggle, there's no progress. The struggle may be moral, it may be physical, it may be moral and physical, but there must be struggle. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. There's a message to you from Frederick Douglass and the people of Maryland. And I'll leave you finally with the words of the great Tom Paine, who my son Tommy was named after. And Paine got here in 1774, two years before the Revolution. And he fell in love with the promise of America. He said, if this land lives up to its ideals, it will become an asylum to humanity. Not an insane asylum, mind you.
That's
a place of refuge for people fleeing from religious and political and economic oppression from all over the world.
Yeah.
And he wrote Common Sense, the pamphlet that ignited the revolution. And by common sense, he meant the sense that you can have, even if you didn't go to the Princeton Theological Seminary or whatever, the sense we have in common when we're willing to reason together, speak and listen together, without propaganda and conspiracy theory and nonsense. when we're willing to use our common sense. But anyway, 1776, it was a tough year. And remember, for the vast majority of human history, to that day, and even to this day, people have lived under the kings and the queens and the dictators and the czars. People like Vladimir Putin and Viktor Orban, who just had a slumber party over in Mar-a-Lago, and Donald Trump. That's been the fate of most humanity. Democracy is the exception, right? Democracy is the exception. And so everybody's running around saying, well, what's the message and who's the messenger and all that stuff. And so Paine wanted to give people some hope, to embolden people. And he wrote this pamphlet called The Crisis. And I just want to quote a little passage for you. I'm updating the language pursuant to instructions from Nancy Pelosi. Tom Paine was a feminist, an early feminist, and that he was. He was a suffragette, even back in the 1700s. But anyway, he wrote these lines. He said, "These are the times that try men and women's souls. And the summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will shrink at this moment from the service of their cause and their country. But everyone that stands with us now will win the love and the favor and the affection of every man and every woman for all time. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered, but we have the saving consolation. The more difficult the struggle, the more glorious in the end will be our victory. Let's make that victory ours in 2024, Arizona Democrats."
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hell yeah.
All the way through November. Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there you go. Jamie Raskin. Ah. You see why I couldn't wait to post it last night? Oh, I cut away too soon because I did a round the place shot of all the people there. Amazing. What an incredibly brilliant man who can speak contemporaneously like that. No notes, quoting everyone from Thomas Paine to Abraham Lincoln, with such a great sense of humor and the ability to rattle off all the reasons that we need to work our asses off this year and make sure that we have a second term of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, because the alternative is just too horrible to contemplate. So, you know, I was thinking about juxtaposing some of Jamie Raskin with what the former guy did this weekend. And I won't soil our wonderful gathering place here today. I'm going to let Jamie Raskin's words resonate, because to hear somebody stand up and say, if I don't win the election, there's going to be a bloodbath. And that's going to be the least of it. You see what the choice is. We can have democracy, as Jamie Raskin said, or a dictatorship with the guy who had a slumber party at Mar-a-Lago with the orange one, Viktor Orban. These are the people that he associates with. So this was a kickoff of the general election push for Biden-Harris. We now have a yard sign in our front yard here in Chandler, Arizona. And we placed it strategically, you know, in the line of sight from our Ring doorbell. So if anybody tries to take it or deface it, we will have it on video. Anyway, I shared that speech as a standalone on YouTube. Feel free to share it far and wide. It's the reason I ran the whole thing today, took up the better part of the show, but I could think of nothing better or more important to get across. Jamie Raskin said it all beautifully and succinctly and off the cuff. Few people can do that. It's very hard to do. And it couldn't have been more gracious. We hope, I'm now talking to his campaign people, and we're hoping to set up a time for him to come on the show and spend the better part of an hour with us. As I told his campaign person, I'm a tough crowd, and very few politicians excite me the way Jamie Raskin does. I think he is brilliant. Yes, I wish he would have run for the Senate. You know, and because, frankly, with Hakeem Jeffries slated to be the speaker when the Democrats take back control of the House, you know, that's a position I would love to see Jamie Raskin in. But, you know, Senate Majority Leader works too. Chucky has got to be on his way out eventually, right? Although President Raskin sounds pretty damn good to me too. He was just wonderful. So I got to tell you, when we met him, again, if you watch the video, let me see if I can pull it up while we're talking, and I won't play audio, but I can show you. David and I are throughout, because they kept getting like crowd shots, and there we were. We were sitting right in the second row. If you watch it, you'll see he talks to everybody. He's just as gracious as can be. I forget where I was going with that. I was gonna make a point, and now it's gone out of my head. But anyway, but you know, he was only there for a limited amount of time, and so he didn't really have time to speak with everybody who wanted to talk to him. This is the wrong video that I just pulled up. No, this should be the one. Hold on. All right. So wait, I'm gonna go towards the end. And see if I can't show you more. As I'm trying to speak, just raw video. Oh, I see what I did. Never mind. I'm trying to talk and chew gum at the same time, which is not always easy to do. Anyway, so I'm talking to his campaign people, and we will be hopefully getting him on the show. So there's me and David on the screen. You could see us right there. And there's another shot as well as we get closer to the end. Anyway, I'm a bit giddy today because, yeah, I got to meet Jamie Raskin, and he's just incredible. David, you're back.
Well, you neglected to mention in your never-ending veneration of Bruce Springsteen that Jamie Raskin said he was, I mentioned to him that yes. We were going to see Bruce tomorrow night.
Yep.
And he said, oh, I'm staying here with Nils Lofgren.
That's right.
And blah, 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 blah. And just, I mean, it was like someone who we had met before and hadn't seen in a few months or something.
Yep.
It wasn't like meeting a stranger for the first. And in regard to that, allow me to quote that great, not American, Lily von Stupp, who famously said, "No,
I'm tired of playing.
What a nice guy."
Yes, really nice. And that is what I was about to say before I lost my train of thought. So you know, David said we're going to see your pal Steve Van Zandt tomorrow night or Tuesday night. We're going to see Springsteen when he starts the tour again here in Arizona. Now it's tomorrow night, and Jamie said, "Oh." Yeah, I know. I'm staying with Nils Lofgren and his wife. They live here. Like, okay. Yeah, so we'll be seeing Bruce Springsteen tomorrow night. I keep looking over here because I did invite my friend Hillary Keyes from Florida to join us on the show just to give us a little update about Florida. Because I don't want you to think, you know, now that I'm gone, I've forgotten about it. Yes, I'm bound and determined to help turn Arizona blue. And I don't feel guilty for leaving Florida. We had to go. I mean, come on. But I see that some of the luster has worn off the sheen of moron death sentence. His don't say gay law has been watered down in a bit of a settlement. Hopefully Hillary will check in with us. Ah, and there she is. So Hillary Keyes, let's see. Hold on one second. I need to bring up the right Chiron here. And there she is. Hold on. It would be nice if I had a producer. I can't afford one. Donations are always welcome here. I play chief cook and bottle washer and engineer and director and all that. And there's Hillary. Hey, Hillary.
Here I am. Hello, Nicole.
Hi. Did you hear Jamie Raskin?
Oh, that was fabulous.
Wasn't it?
I don't know that I'd ever heard him before.
And he just, for 30 minutes, just spoke, no notes, no nothing. And he was brilliant. Like I said, I wasn't planning to videotape the whole thing. I just thought, well, you know, I'll tape until it gets slow. It never got slow. He's just great. So, before we move on, Hillary, I got to tell you, you know, on Mondays, I usually have Jonathan Larson, who writes the fucking news on. He's my new, you know, Monday guest. Well, he's on vacation this week, which freed up the day. But he still is sending out the newsletters. Knowing that you are going to join us today, I opened up today's new email from the F team, which everyone can get if you subscribe. It's at thefuckingnews.substack.com. And let me just read to you the first paragraph of Jonathan Larson wrote today. He said, I'm writing this last week, so it's possible no one's thinking of President Joe Biden's speech or memory or gaffes since his widely praised State of the Union address, which so defied right-wing expectations that they're asserting as fact their speculation that Biden used super drugs to Algernon him into a mental metahuman. And it's hyperlinked, Algernon is hyperlinked to the Wikipedia page for Flowers for Algernon, which is a brilliant book that we all grew up on that your father wrote.
I'm in shock.
I'm going to email this to you because it's like, okay, it's kismet. It's meant to be.
Well, you know, and I'll tell you, this is the second time in a week that you've shocked me. I have to admit that usually I'm listening to your show later on at night as I'm driving home from Lake Worth. It's okay. Like, it's my comfort friend time with Nicole as I drive back to Boca. And it just so happened on Thursday
that I called you out.
I was like, oh, I'm driving at 5 o'clock. I may as well put it on live.
Wow.
And then I hear myself being
paged.
And then we're into the nearest parking lot.
Well, you know, that's gutsy on my part because I'm not knowing if you were listening, but, you know, but you're my, you know, my political friend left in Florida. I've got a few others, but you know, I've known you since I was doing mornings on WINZ, I think is when we met.
And it was like the days of Occupy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've right. done an Occupy thing in Palm Beach and you That's came right. up and were the keynote or something.
Yeah, we go back a long ways. And so, you know, you're part of Progressive Democrats of America and the Progressive Democratic Caucus of Florida and all that. And I don't want everyone to think I just abandoned Florida. Florida is still important. But obviously, right now, I'm focusing on Arizona. But I did want to check with you because Ron DeSantis seems to have lost a few steps since his failed presidential bid.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I hope he loses a lot more, but we've had a few that, you know, obviously, as you commented on Thursday about the ruling about the Don't Say Gay bill.
That someone took it to court. There was a settlement. So you can say gay in schools now, in public schools in Florida, which is just not as part of an organized lesson, but a teacher can have a picture on her desk of she and her wife. You know, you can acknowledge that Danny has two dads. You can acknowledge someone's transgender. Those things you couldn't do a few months ago.
Yeah, it's big. And then I was also in touch with a friend and a fellow PDA advisory person who has been actually following the legislative session, mm-hmm. The Progressive Caucus as well. And he said that there were 22 bad LGBTQ bills and 20 of them were stopped.
Good. Oh, nice.
In committee, he said that one, he originally said 21 out of 22. He's like, but one of them, there's like still still part of it that went through. So I didn't have the details on that. I hope to get more information soon. And we also have scheduled several of our progressive leaders from the state House and state Senate are going to be doing, updates and kind of wrap ups of the legislative session soon. So I didn't have as much information on that stuff.
Then you'll come back and tell us when it's over. Now, here's the question for you, because since DeSantis took office, since before he took office, when Rick Scott was in the governor's office, the insurance crisis began. You cannot get homeowners insurance in Florida. And if you can get someone to write it, it's tripled or quadrupled or even more year after year. It's unaffordable if you can find someone to write the policy. DeSantis never dealt with that in his first term. The legislature does all this other bullshit, like I forget what the latest one was, but some nonsense culture war thing. Instead of dealing with this crisis, have they done anything about it in this session?
No. Of course not. Like what? It's like, no, have they done anything about affordable housing? Have they done anything about the insurance? Not really. And something that I wanted to say, and actually I had heard you talking about, because I know, you were saying about, people getting news from TikTok. Yes. And I know in general, it's not, but there are actually several really, really good progressive news folks who give some really great information, one of whom I highly recommend, and she is hysterical and tough and like her, and she goes by Chasing Oz.
Okay. Chasing Oz. Is she in Florida? She's based in Florida?
She's based in Florida. So a lot of times I get some of my good Florida stuff from her.
Okay.
But she does national and Florida stuff.
Good to know.
She also does travel tours, but that's beside the point.
I wanted to also ask you about Nikki Fried, because that's what made me write to you in the first place. So Nikki Fried was in the primary for governor, ran against Charlie Crist. She lost, and then Charlie Crist lost. But then she became chair of the Florida Democratic Party after the Democrats finally got rid of the last guy, who I won't even talk about. It's what got me to leave my post as a committee chairperson, because they just so did not want to hear from progressives. We did not have a voice, and I was done, and the Broward Dems were no better. But Nikki Fried comes in, and she made some noise, and I loved it. I had her on a few times. And then I just read, it was last week or the week before, she's like, enough of this nonsense. And she purged the Miami-Dade County Democratic Party chair and the Palm Beach County, where you are, Democratic Party chair. I guess Broward she didn't touch. Maybe things have gotten better since I left. But good moves?
Yes. I'm really not familiar with the situation in Miami-Dade. Uh-huh. There's a third one in one of the counties up north.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. I think it starts with an F, but anyway, I'm not familiar with it. But the Palm Beach County situation, I really, people are like, well, why is she doing it this time? Because to clear the way so that we can actually make the progress that we need to do.
Please.
Because sadly, in Palm Beach County, it's been over a year of battling. So it's not, at this point, it's a suspension on, I believe it's the 24th of the month, there will be a meeting of the state central committee, and they will have to vote rather than make it permanent. Mm-hmm. So the grievances are significant. There were formal grievances filed.
Good.
We're not just talking about personality. We're talking about budget, debt, things, financial stuff, a lot in addition to being very dismissive of people who do not agree. And our state our county DEC is down by half between people she removed because they didn't agree with her and people who quit in frustration.
Wow. This is the one who Nikki Fried got rid of, as you're talking about.
She's suspended. Right. She's suspended. We currently have our vice chair is now acting chair, and he's amazing. I'm so proud of him. And we work together. You know, everybody's, you know, we've got his back. And so, you know, I mean, I can't go into detail right now, but let's just say that... This needed to happen.
Awesome.
And I know like for a while, you know, there were so many complaints sent to Chair Fried, and we were like, you know, is she doing anything? And I had spoken to her personally, and she's like, oh, we're trying to figure something out, you know.
Good. Well, I'm glad she's on the job. I love her. I'll tell you, my opinion of her has only grown since her candidacy for governor. And I'm sorry I didn't vote for her. I really thought Charlie Crist had a better chance of winning. And I just wanted DeSantis out. So, you know, I made a strategic vote. Either way, it wouldn't have mattered. But Hillary, thank you for coming on today. I hope maybe after the legislative session wraps, you can come on and tell us what happened.
Great.
Would love to do that.
Just quickly mention to encourage any progressive Democrats to join the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida. The website is progressivefl.org. And I also want to mention that I'm running for delegate to the National Convention again this year.
Yes.
Any of your listeners are in Florida, Congressional District 23, where Jared Moskowitz is.
My old district.
Sitting.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled with him, but yeah. And you've done it before. Hillary has been a delegate before and deserves to be there again, so go vote for her. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Hillary. We'll talk soon. Bye. Okay. And I'll put all that info on the blog with today's show. Hillary Keyes, everybody. And read Flowers for Algernon because it's brilliant. In the moment or two we have left, I want to direct you to NicoleSandler.com. I posted a lengthy screed this morning because today happens to be the 50th anniversary of my friend Jim Kerr doing morning radio in New York. Jim Kerr does mornings at Q1043.com. Q1043 in New York is also at .com. But back when I was a young baby broadcaster, Jim, you know, got his New York career start at WPLJ in New York. I was his producer from 1985 to 87. And today marks 50 years, amazing, that Jim has been doing mornings in New York. So I posted something. Let's see if I can pull up some pictures. Anyway, on Friday, he'll be broadcasting live from, I think, the top of the Empire State Building, which is amazing. So there's Jim. Let's see what other pictures I have posted here. This was a day back in 1985. Boy George was on top of the world, and he was there in the studio. That's me over his right shoulder. That's me and Jim. Of course, I have my eyes closed. Lovely shot. There's me behind Jim as he's shirtless in the studio. That's us at Giant Stadium when Giant Stadium first came online. It was built in the Meadowlands with the then governor of New Jersey, Tom Keene. This was an article about us. So all this stuff, that's us broadcasting on the marquee of Radio City Music Hall. It was a pretty exciting time. And I'm in a business where longevity is not a word. Jim Kerr has been on the air in New York City doing mornings for 50 years. So congratulations to my old friend and former colleague. And I hope to get him on the show one of these days just to talk radio and all that stuff. But I wrote something up. There's a lot of audio there, too, back from 1985 to 87. If you care to listen, it's all posted at NicoleSandler.com. Tomorrow, Jason Leopold will be here talking about the FOIA files, his new Bloomberg newsletter, and his big scoop about the FBI agents who executed the search warrant on Mar-a-Lago and were pissed. All right, to be continued tomorrow. Thank you for listening, everyone. Thanks again to Jamie Raskin, and I'll see you tomorrow. Peace out.